6th chapter of the Gospel according to John. I was very much tempted to follow our brother Linstead on spiritual gifts, but I think perhaps this may be for our young people and help to establish them in some of the fundamentals. But we can hardly say amen to what we have listened to this afternoon. Now look at verse 68 says, "Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." I want you to take special note of this little word, sure. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now we are living in a world of uncertainty. We are not sure of anything. And in the midst of uncertainties, we wonder what another day will bring forth. And it's always nice to turn from the confusion of thought, and even religious thought, to the certainties of the Word of God. And I want to bring these certainties before us that we may lay hold upon, and find certainties in the midst of uncertainties, and things that we can be sure about, and things that we can be dogmatic about, without having to blush and make apologies for. Here is where true Christianity begins, with right thoughts about the Lord Jesus Christ. What think ye of Christ is the test, to try both your state and your scheme. You cannot be right in the rest, unless you think rightly of Him. The love of God radiates to you and me through three divine personalities, and in that divine association there can be no other answer as to who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He is God, manifest in flesh. The Father emphasizes the very essence of the divine nature. The Son emphasizes the manifestation of that nature. And the Spirit emphasizes the operations of that nature. All three divine persons subsisting in the very essence of deity, eternal in existence, divine in nature, and yet distinct in personality. Not three gods, but one God, whose love and grace radiates to you and me through three divine personalities. Now the Lord Jesus Himself, in John 17, said these words, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent." And I wonder how many of us have stood face to face with the reality of the person of the Lord Jesus. And I wonder if this confession has been made by everyone here. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what the Jews did? They took up stones to stone him. For what reason? Because he made himself equal with God. The Jews knew what he meant. They knew that Son uniquely was not inferiority. They knew that that claim was for equality with God. And there can be no salvation for anyone without the acknowledgement of this fact that Christ is the Son of the living God. But now let us look at another certain day, 2 Timothy chapter 2. The second book of Timothy, chapter 2, and verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Here is a foundation that is absolutely sure. It's upon this foundation that that confession of Christ coming from the very heart of a believer brings him unto, and though that foundation is absolutely sure and will never tremble under the believer who is on it. What is that foundation? Not only the person of Christ, but the person of Christ in all the value of his atonement. Christ and his cross. Christ and the whole work of redemption. And come, and unto that foundation we come. And we can say from that very moment, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But now to hurry, let us go to Hebrews chapter 6. The book of Hebrews, chapter 6. And verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whether the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made on high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. A sure foundation and a sure hope. You know, this hope is not the same as the hope of the worldling. The man or woman in the world may hope for something tomorrow that may never be realized. That is absolutely impossible with this hope. This hope is sure. Sure of realization. And the guarantee of the realization of this hope is that the forerunner has already entered and guarantees that all others that have believed in him shall enter by and by. You know, this is a chapter that teaches us in no uncertain terms the eternal security of the believer. There are three, four lovely pictures of our chapter for a moment. There is the picture of a builder that lays the foundation and then goes on to build the superstructure. Then there is the picture of a manslayer that flees to the city of refuge and is safe as long as the high priest liveth. Then there is the picture of a garden where every pleasant plant grows for the glory of its owner. And last of all, there is a picture of a ship. A ship on an angry sea, but its anchor is cast, and all is well, as that ship is drawn toward the haven of rest. That's our chapter. No wonder, as we look into its lovely truths, we are assured that our hope is a sure hope. Will no realization by and by, because our anchor is cast, it has gripped the solid rock within the veil, and is being drawn toward that haven of rest, where no storm will ever be known. Now let us look at another divine certainty in 2 Peter chapter 1. The second book of Peter, chapter 1, verse 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now here is a guide. It is absolutely sure. It is an infallible guide. It is the Word of God. Now let me read this verse, putting the parentheses in its right place. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed in your hearts, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. That is to say, the word of prophecy we take heed in our hearts. And that until the day dawn and the day star arise in the sky. That word of prophecy is a light that shineth in a dark place. Now, note in our next verse. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation, that is, of any private origination. The Word of God never originated in the minds of the writers. The Word of God originated in the very mind of God, and the writers were but the penmen of God. The truth that they have given to us are not their own interpretation of divine things, but the revelation that comes from God alone. The last verse proves that. For the prophecy came not in old times by the will of men, but holy men of God speak as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Here then is a word that comes from God Himself. that originated in the very mind of the God of heaven. It is brought to you and me by divine inspiration and becomes the sure guide of our lives. That word that is a light in a dark place, the word which if we take heed in our hearts will keep us, will guide us, and will protect us until the day dawn and the day star arrives. But now let's look at something else that's here in Isaiah 32. The prophet Isaiah, chapter 32. And verse 18. And my people shall dwell in peaceable habitation and in sure dwellings and in quiet resting places. Think of that. Quiet resting places. Let us think of three resting places that are sure dwellings indeed. You remember our Savior said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." That is a rest of conscience. That is a rest in the assurance of sins forgiven, sweet resting place of every heart that feels the plague of sin, yet knows that deep, mysterious joy of peace with God within. Here is a refuge, a dwelling place that is sure. It is found in our Savior. He has said, "Come unto me," and there is a rest of conscience for the one that comes. But in the very next verse, he said, "Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here is a sure dwelling, a dwelling place for the heart, a dwelling place in which the very peace of God is known, and where there is a rest in the will of God as we walk with Him and talk with Him along the road to glory. But there is another dwelling place. It is sure. "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth they shall rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." That is the rest that remaineth for the people of God. Were we to read Hebrews 3 and 4, we would find this threefold rest. The first is illustrated by the Sabbath, where all work has ceased, and we enter into God's rest. Oh, if there's a soul here, and you know nothing of this rest, we would say to you, "Weary working, burden one, wherefore toil ye so? Cease your doing, all was done long, long ago. It is finished, yes indeed, finished every jot. Sinner, this is all you need. Tell me, is it not?" But the second aspect of rest is symbolized by the rest of Canaan. There was an inheritance to be possessed, but it must be possessed in conflict. And then there is a rest that remaineth. That rest of heaven above, sure dwelling, quiet resting places. Let me turn to another rest, another sure thing, in Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And look at the very beginning of our chapter. Verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. We live in a world of unpunished vice and a world of unrewarded virtue. That is the world in which we live. And the silent heaven and the groaning earth, whose history now is summed up by two words that summed up the civilization of Noah's day: corruption and violence. And in the silent heaven and the groaning earth, we wonder if God is still on the throne. Has he vacated the very throne of justice? Or does he remain amid the shadows, keeping watch above his own? And then heaven one day will break its silence and will light up with the very glory of the Lamb. And our Savior descend in all his fury upon a world that has rejected him. The judgment of God is according to truth. And I always like to find refuge in the words of Abraham: shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth. But now look at our last scripture in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11 and verse 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. The judgment seat of Christ is before us. And you know, their virtue will have its reward. And everything that has been done for Christ now will not be overlooked in that day. Little things we have forgotten, he will tell us were for him. And in our lives down here below, we are sowing privilege to sow the seeds of righteousness. And for the one that does that, that his reward shall be sure. No one may see you. No one may be there to applaud you. And perhaps you feel that you live in the midst of a thankless generation. And even God's people can be very discouraging by bestowing your kindness upon them. But let me remind you that that eye that neither slumbers nor sleeps has taken note of your prayers your intercessions in secret, has taken note of those kindly deeds, those kindly words that has been part of your Christian life, and God's records will be opened one day, and your reward will be sure. These are the divine certainties of God in the midst of a world of uncertainty. Let us lay hold upon divine certainties tonight, and let us go forward with our heads lifted up, and rejoice that we have got a God who exists, a God who knows, a God who cares, and a God who will keep us until that day when he takes us unto himself, and then in a grand immortality we will continue our service throughout the universe of God. May the Lord bless his word.
We sing number 351, Savior, more than life to me, I am clinging close to thee. 351. After singing this song, we'll ask Brother Harry Ferris to close the meeting with prayer, and the meeting will be dismissed. And young people will gather downstairs very shortly. We'll have our time down there in the Word as well as with it. I have a shepherd, one I love so well. How he has blessed me, tongue can never tell. Following Jesus. 288. Everybody sing right out to your best of singing ability, and this place will sound pretty good.